It's a humbling experience for a Christian to realize that even when the Holy Spirit prompts him to do a good work out of love for the Lord, his work is still not perfect. It's always tainted with impurities. A Christian sins even when he's doing good works. That's because a Christian is never entirely all new man, but he's partly old man. As long as we live, we have that old Adam, old man, with us. Even though the old Adam was crucified when we were washed in the washing of regeneration by the Holy Spirit, the sinful flesh still is there, tainting everything that we do. This is what the prophet Jeremiah had to say in the 17th chapter about the human heart. He said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And he follows this with a reminder from the Lord, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind." So we'd like to convince ourselves that when we do something for the glory of the Lord, because we want to please our Savior who died for us, there's still a part of us that's not with it. You're not going along with it. That flesh. In other words, our motives are never entirely pure. We maybe think we're doing this out of the glory of God, and I guess we are because the Holy Spirit is prompting us. But still, there may be a part of us that, maybe because of sinful pride. Maybe because we want to please other people instead of God. Let's think about Jesus and what he thought about this. There was that man that came to Jesus with a question about eternal life. And he said to Jesus, "Good teacher." And Jesus immediately responded by saying, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God." Of course, Jesus knew that this man was not calling him good because he thought that Jesus was God. In the same way, Jesus was talking to his disciples about prayer. And he said to them, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" He just calls them evil. You being evil. And Jesus was also talking to his disciples when he said this, "From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." The heart, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And for this reason, it is impossible for any of us, with our naturally sinful hearts, to save ourselves by doing something just right, perfect in the eyes of God. Martin Luther was still of the opinion that the best and safest way to get to heaven was to keep the commandments of God and follow all the laws of the church. And he was very conscientious in trying to do this. But he was honest enough with himself that he was unable to fool himself into thinking that he had done it just right before God. His conscience was tender. And so he was trying to keep up to this high standard, and he always kept on slipping in his own mind because he says, "Oh, I love God, but then I hate God too." He always had to go back to confession because he realized that it wasn't quite right. You know, if a person could get to heaven by saying the Lord's Prayer just once, perfectly, with perfect thought in his heart, it still would not be possible. Because of our sinful flesh, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So Jeremiah's hope was not within himself. The Holy Spirit taught him that the Lord is the hope of Israel. The Holy Spirit gave him these words to proclaim and teach and write in this very same 17th chapter. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. So salvation cannot come from within ourselves. What good fruit can come from a tree that is not good? So if we are going to be healed, God alone, who is good, will have to be the healer. If we are going to be saved, God alone, who is good, will have to be our Savior. So I can never praise myself for having saved myself, or even for having chosen to have God save me. You are my praise. You are the hope of Israel. And then, of course, the opposite is true. All who forsake you shall be ashamed. God says, those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Now, as we approach the remembrance of our Savior's death and resurrection, let us recognize the amazing love of God for us helpless, hopeless sinners. Even though God's love for us involved the giving up of the Father's Son into the most horrible suffering and death, God was not willing to spare his Son, but gave him the full load of our sin and our guilt and our punishment in order to save us, deceitful and desperately wicked creatures. Jesus fully understood what he was getting himself into in the Garden of Gethsemane. He recognized what the cup of suffering that the Father was going to give him entailed, but he still went through with it out of love for us, even though he prayed that if possible, he could avoid it. He was willing to do it out of love for us, willing to drink that cup of suffering dry so that we might have salvation. So at this time of year, and of course at all times, there should be overflowing joy in our hearts for what God was willing to do to save us. And so we sing, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. We sing hymn 376, stanzas 2 and 3.